You got to wear yellow shorts and backpacks. You guys, you could be
Oh,
skipping
they
a
have to be
green
like,
screen.
and they have to be like really, really short too.
Right. Super short. Yeah.
With
Like
the
no thanks.
suspenders. No thanks.
Handmade with some Spanx.
All right, we're rolling. This is Dr. Tar.
This is Professor. Professor. Professor Feather. There.
This is the Midnight Sight. Midnight Sadfly?
And this is Dr. Tumbledore, Dr. Head. And you are experiencing.
Radio.
Timmy. Look at that big monster up there, Daddy.
Deborah, friend to all children.
He won't eat you.
Friend to all children, fellow inmates. Tonight, we are going to be talking about Gamera. Not the Showa era Gamera from the 60s and 70s, but we're going to talk about the trilogy of Gamera movies. We're going to do the first one, Gamera Guardian of the Universe, which came out in 1995. It's been 30 years, and
holy
we all
shit.
Are big. I know we've all been kaiju fans, and I know some of the people who are involved in the movie who did work and did the art score, like Shinji Higuchi. He's come to
G-Fest. You've met a bunch of those, haven't you?
Yeah, and definitely, and also Carl Craig, the American actor who was in Gamera. He came to G-Fest and talked. So yeah, it's great. Obviously, like his dad was in the military, so he was stationed in Japan, which is why he was there, and grew up there as a kid and got picked because they wanted an American face.
I've read that a lot about English looking people that they put in their movies. A lot of them are like Turkish businessmen or whoever happened, businessmen that they kind of, I don't know how that it's arranged or whatever, but sets them up for this stuff, and it's kind of interesting because you start seeing them in a bunch of films, and it's just like
Toho
I mean?
Uses a lot of the actors in repeatedly. They have a stable of actors, and including this is not Toho though. This is Daye, but yes,
yeah, but they had their own too, and it was
yes. But Daye, to give a little context, was a rival company to Toho. Toho had Godzilla. Daye came in the 60s with Gamera, and then they steered, after the first two movies, they really began directing toward a children's market. And
I'd
really
say after the first one.
Yeah, well, Baragon's still kind of dark,
Oh, no, Baragon's probably the darkest of all. Yeah,
that was the
second
one. I guess
I didn't even think of
or
it.
Or Barugon, rather. Barugon, Baragon. Yeah, and then by the time, but then Gauss and Jiger, I mean, those definitely kid-friendly, kid-centric. And so,
okay.
But we'll Gamera, the 90s, the Heisei era, this is a trilogy of movies that are much more serious in tone, with a much smaller budget than the Godzilla films. Godzilla films were on about a million dollar budget. These were done, at least this first one, about $4.5 million. But that's one thing we're going to talk about. But this involves Gamera. It's a big flying turtle. I was wondering how they're going to update him. The looks haven't changed too much, but the special effects are a lot better. But basically what we have with the start of the movie is this ship is carrying plutonium. It collides with this like floating atoll off the coast of the Philippines. And then you find that there are these kind of comma-shaped pieces of metal in this atoll, and they collect some of them, and then the atoll kind of starts breaking apart and leaves. And then we hear about a village that's been attacked by these giant by a giant bird. And which leads in some of the characters. There's a recurring character who's a police detective. And
can I jump in here for just a sec?
Oh, yes.
Like,
I don't want to talk
like too much. No, no. It just seems like up to that point, you're right. And it's just like, but it seems like two separate stories. They haven't come together yet. And they're, it's kind of cool. It's a cool setup. The update, at least in the story aspect, it's neat.
Sorry. Right. It's more of an organic, like a mystery. Like there are these things that are happening. Yes, they haven't been connected yet.
Better introduction than.
There's an air of mystery. But not to get too far deep into it, because it is 30 years old. I guess I'm going to turn this over now a little bit. But we find out that these birds, they're not quite birds. We're called Gauss. So we have a not a remake necessarily, but a bringing back of the Gauss creatures from Gamma versus Gauss, updated, bringing back with a different storyline that kind of more closely mimics, I think, what Toho was doing with their Mothra and Batra movies, with the sense of the Batra was a kind of a being that was kind of created, for the protection of the world. When humans got out of the way and started doing bad things and destroying it. And so we see those kind of sentiments echoed in this Gamera as well.
But Gamera has always had that, whatever you want to call it, always protector instead of...
Yeah, Gamera's always been a protector. They kind of brought in this whole like Atlantean type of civilization that created,
which I thought was kind of cool. It was a Atlantean weaponry or organic weaponry, whatever they call it, technology.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Designing your defense systems and, which is a whole nother thing. But
Gantfly, what's some of your thoughts, initial thoughts on Gamera, Guardian of the Universe?
I like the fact that they are kids' movies, and the fact that I own them on DVD only because my son got really into this and Godzilla and all that stuff when he was younger. So we would watch these, and I even remember having Dr. Tarr's son come over, and that's all they did. They were like up till 3 a.m. watching Godzilla movies and Gamera and all these different things. Yeah, it was. So that's, to me, it's more nostalgic than it is me looking at it. My biggest thing that I remember is there's a lot of bicycles flying through windows. I kept remembering, like, a lot of these movies, I'm like, there's always a bicycle flying through somebody's window. And then some woman comes out and goes, what's going on?
What the fuck, corn job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Professor Feather, your initial thoughts on Gamera?
Well, I watched it probably 29 years ago or 28 years ago or, something like that, when it first came out. I liked it. I'm not a big Gamera fan, but I enjoyed it. And then when I watched it this time, it was even a little bit better because I saw things that I didn't see the first time, and kind of followed the story a little bit more. It was subtitled, so I had to kind of read the subtitles. I skimmed them, But because some things I just didn't care about, to be honest. I kind of liked it. I liked, you talk about the connections. The comma comes into play because her dad gives it to her. Is it that? Who gives it?
Yeah, it's one of the
scientists gives.
One of the scientists gives it to her.
Gives it to the girl.
Yeah. And who's the girl?
Isn't it Steven Seagal's daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah. Thanks. That just broke my thought.
the comma. But yeah.
The comma. The interaction between her and Gamera. I kind of like Seagal. That. Mm-hmm. When I get to the point of, and here's I'm a nitpicker. What can I say? I don't like his tusks. I just don't like them. They have no meaning. They have absolutely no meaning. And I'm sitting here watching and going, maybe at some point he can make his jaw extend and he's got these two things where he can run up and jab them.
That's later.
What good would that be? That would, and then his mouth stuck on this. Wait a minute. That wasn't a good idea. I don't know. But that just kind of bothered me. For some reason, even in the earlier ones, why would you have something on something that has no meaning?
Right. But yeah. if it's engineered, that's a byproduct.
I think it's to make him look more scary as a monster, more intimidating.
I would love to have seen him use those tusks as a weapon, because
Gamera bleeds like a fucking stuck pig.
I know,
you know, and they bring some of those sensibilities in this, which I really like.
But he bit off Gauss's leg.
Yeah, it bites right off his foot. But like when in the original Gamera versus Gauss shoots like these beams, like these Gauss.
Yeah.
And Gamera gets shot in the arm, and it's like gallons of blue-green blood, and it's like just pour, like gush, you know. And he's laying there, like
the way the like scene laying animation.
There, Gamera, you got fucking rockets, man. Move, buddy.
It's halfway.
But they brought that back. So I, you know, the Gamera movies were always so gory compared to Godzilla, you know.
But it was okay because it was blue blood.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't want to make it too scary for the kids, maybe. Yeah.
Well, and the Gauss power, that's sound.
Yeah.
You know, when you, I like how they did that, how they showed the sound waves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really notice that when I watched it in the first, I probably did, but forgot it, you know. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool, you know, that's that power, what? You know. And there is a tremendous power of sound that can be done that way. Yeah. You know? I thought that was pretty cool.
Because they got to wind up and then like focus it. Comes out and then it changes, you know.
And
like,
then they had those big bad ears too, so they kind of, you know, kind of
a triangular head.
Well, and the
fox had a triangular head.
Anyway. Because the original Gauss is more like a vampire bat, you know, and the top of his head would turn red because they had that like artificial blood to kind of drug him and keep him until sunset, you know.
Yeah,
anatomical drawing where they show these like two spines, so that's how he creates.
They look like
tuning fork to make the sound. That was the only time I've seen him actually explain how a monster has his power. You know, where they talk about his tune fork, and that's why he can't turn his head or whatever.
They look like stealth fighters.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
I thought that too.
Yeah,
and I was thinking trying to figure out a pyramid angle there, but it isn't really a pyramid. It's just a triangle. Although if you go back in the bone structure, it might be a pyramid that comes down and then out. You know, so that's pyramid power. He's projecting pyramid power.
Was it aliens?
I used to look at those pamphlets in the grocery aisle about pyramid power back in the 80s, 70s, and 80s.
Put your razor blades in here and they'll never dull.
That's right. Yeah, build one and sleep under it. I'm going to live forever.
Okay, that sounds good. Under it, yeah.
We can do that for a new whatever skit for Tar and Feather we'll do about how he sharpens his blades and pyramid containers and... When we show him, so, it's like just this bandaged, bloodied, all you see is the eyes. So,
didn't Tar and Feather do a Gamera movie?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes, we did. That's
War of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Which one? That was the...
Gurron.
Gurron? Okay. The
sword head dude.
Yeah, the big sword head. Yeah, because he chops up a silver space gauss.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that movie until like Tim Bean and I saw it because we got it. We're like, oh, we got to see Gurron. This is a new one for us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't show them all and didn't, you know, on the TV or we hadn't remembered it. So we were watching. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is great. This big... The chunks of gauss are flying off. I'm like, oh, man,
sound effects too, because Gurron has this maniacal laugh.
Let's get back to the other one because I want to make a point about where they come from, because they start talking about Atlantis and Mu,
yes,
or Mu depending on who says the word, and that's, you know, is that in the originals?
No,
I didn't think so. I thought the only
thing that suggests as a rock that he gives him from some ancient Eskimo in the first one when he hands him, you remember that?
There was something about the Gamera thing, but yeah, the monsters, like some come from outer space, and Gauss was, I think, buried in the mountain, so it was already here, like a subterranean monster. So
and like they're saying, you know, they're positing, well, maybe
they were planets already
were created, you know,
right? And left here to say, and when conditions are right, they're going
to
have
to balance.
It. Yes,
to balance everything.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So they do bring some kind of interesting twist to it. Yeah. And they have ways of showing that Gamera is still a protector of children without ever saying it. You know, the scene on the bridge, which I was so when I first saw it, the people running across a bridge, and here comes the Gauss, and then Gamera makes his real her first appearance in the daylight. That's a really great scene. I love that scene, because then you see Gamera's first breath weapon, that fireball, comes out, and it's such an impressive display. From considering, you know, Gamera used to have like a flamethrower, and now this like big plasma ball of flame. But you see him reach down to literally protect the children and the couple from Gauss's beam. He puts his hand down, and that kind of burns his, you know, hand. But it was kind of a nice way. Okay, protector of children still.
To a degree, you know, because you think, you know, it's really he's, you know, and that was, you know, a scene that obviously states it. But, you know, his overall, the whole overall aspects of this is like all of them. It's nature.
Yes.
And what nature is doing. And we are kind of incidental to that, you know, yes, because of all the destruction that goes on. They
or
can't
the cause of it. They or can't the catalyst.
Well, yeah. So I said,
yeah.
And then, you know, if he's such a great protector of children, why is he decimating buildings where there could possibly be children in those buildings? So there's a real dichotomy there. It's only, I think,
kind of changes.
The humanity is only incidental. You know, and there
in
is
this version, yes.
In this version, yes. And there is, you know, a little bit of touch, and then the telepathic, which I thought was really good between Seagal's daughter. Is she legitimate?
Everybody's legitimate. Come on,
yeah.
Let's just be fair. True.
You're right. I retract that whole.
Hey, lawyers, who be contacting you?
But I just like that. I like that she has. It's not just a telepathic communication, and it's
and she physical. Can't control
it's like,
it.
It's like physiopathic.
It's physical. Yeah, it's physiopathic. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's.
But yeah. She can't control him. But there's a contact between.
Well, she does control him. Yes,
she kind of helps.
She can
move him
away.
Like
she directs
robot.
Him to where there's a problem,
yeah. And she also gives him motivation.
Yeah,
that whole thing when she's rubbing that and she grabs her dad's hand, right?
Right. Together, right. They're
that's
helping.
All, that's all. Right. That's all. That's all forming.
You're right.
This, yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. So she
but
can
it
direct him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because she's the only one of everyone who touched those commas that they reacted for her.
Yes.
So there's something right. about her that connects with whatever that civilization's ability to do technologically.
Her genes from the Atlantean.
Yeah, it could
you.
Be, right? Or yeah, some exactly. kind of genetic component,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so
right.
that, you know, making that connection. Now, I see a lot of similarities between the Heisei series of Godzilla because they had that psychic Emmy. You know,
yeah.
She's
yeah.
trying to control Godzilla and did on at least one occasion.
Yeah,
that's so true. I see some play work, but see, Toho was actually helping with Daiei. They were actually, I think, they were producing or like releasing the film. Distributing them. Yeah.
At that time. Or
at that
80,
time.
Or yeah, those,
yeah, so, yeah. I mean, there was, you know, the fact that monsters were good, you know, going well. But yeah, so we have that's a great connection that was never really explored in the kids, you know, the Showa era, because it was more about, you know, space aliens and then the kids
yes.
help Gamera, yeah. you know, save the world.
Spectacular.
That whole global perspective by saving the children, you're saving the world kind of thing was more, you know, the Showa. But it's a lot more prominent in here, and the tone is much darker.
Yeah. But I like the shift. It brought it up
for the kids who were in the 70s. This is the great movie, because now we're adults. We can appreciate it more, a serious kaiju movie, you know, that still has the hallmarks of the ones that we love. And
I was going to say, definitely has the hallmarks of.
The spinning, you know, the fire.
The sets, you know, and the way they crumble. It's like that.
Yeah.
That hadn't changed. You know, they used like almost
it's
all that.
Still, you're right. It's bit, still. You
know. Yeah.
But look good. It still looked good for that.
Oh
standard.
No! I think it looked good.
Well, they chose the Gamera. The special effects are actually better when you compare the Heisei Godzillas that were coming out at this time to the Gamera. The Gameras are much more effective because Godzilla by that time was gargantuan, and the sets were like the Toho City style. You know, can't get too detailed on a 50-story skyscraper.
And so many of them too.
Yeah, exactly. So and then those movies were just like two monsters. They stood and just blew each other apart with beams. It was so boring, but where we had the physicality, you know,
it was
Gamera was physical, but the models could be much more realistic. And what I love so much is the creative
smaller scale
showing almost like point of view shots, like Gamera's walking over you now, you know, and it kind of that force perspective and gives some interesting scale.
Or scale, they gave you the scale,
yeah,
instead of
exactly.
I mean, it looks, I can obviously see, because I'm watching a beautiful high def rendition of it. It looks, I mean, I could see the models for the models. Not that I ever care.
Right.
You know, yeah. But I still look at how good the movie is compared to what was coming out. Like Toho was just churning them out. This felt a lot more love was gone into, a lot more thought was put into it. And
it's a little more serious.
Yeah.
And it's good. Seriously got better with the sequels when they came up. And it's just,
It's good because it's like Harry Potter. It gives kids agency. You know what I mean? Like they're there saying we have an effect on the world. You know, we get to interact with all of these big things, which I think is really important. I think that's one of the reasons that Finn and, Max, responded to it is because they're like, we're part of this. You know, we get to watch this and
Sure. Like any kid, a good kids movie would be. It draws you into it. You want to be I think that way. But so many
kids movies fail on that, and this does not. There's an urgency or there's a danger here that you don't get with a lot of other ones, and they did it really well. And I loved the practical effects. You know, so I was.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I agree.
The suit design is really, really nice. The models are great, and the scenes of like the Gauss flying around, I think, are really shot really effectively. Especially the first time you see him on the island.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like, oh my God, that could be to scale. Yeah, I know it wasn't.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the idea that like they're growing so fast, the more they consume, the bigger they get,
and they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
The when they eat, that's pretty visceral,
Yes.
And that was a good touch, I thought.
When he's like that, and it was a puppet, but when he's like
tearing,
what I mean, like a bird does, the
stadium
thing, the baseball stadium thing was
that stadium cool. was a great set,
yes,
yeah. really
when cool. they were still small, thinking that they had them, that was fun.
Yeah, and we got to see Gamera use his breath weapon again. A shot is you can see it from underneath point of view. Now that will return mostly in the third one. We'll talk more about that because that's if you want to talk dark, that's a fucking dark movie.
That's a great movie.
We're gonna work on
other than Shin Godzilla. That was probably my first favorite.
Well, Shinji Higuchi, who worked in the Gamera versus Guardian of the Universe, also helped. He directed Shin Godzilla. He was
really?
Shinji Higuchi. Yeah, he came to G-Fest. Super nice guy. Yeah. And Hiroshi Sege did the artwork. Yeah. Sege-san is no longer with us, but I had him sign all my DVDs and.
Nice.
He drew like little characters, like on the Gamera 3, the Invasion of Iris. He drew a little Gamera on one side and an Iris on the other. So they were like,
"Oh, very cool."
Oh, nice. I'm like, "Oh, that, yeah,
that's, I mean, that's fucking cool."
It is.
Love
I
just, that.
That's why I never part with those because those are so meaningful to me. You know, like he drew those for me. So I had him. Send me a picture.
Send me a picture. Yeah. I'd like to see what he drew. I'm really.
Yeah.
Could you speak to them? Did any of them speak English at all?
Some spoke English, but there was always a translator.
Was there? That's good. I didn't know that.
There was always a translator. So like for interviews, because they always had, interviews and could talk about what they did. Yeah. But then like you get in, but most of them could speak English fairly well. I remember.
That's what Tim Bean doesn't. Well, he's
like a manager, like an agent.
Yeah.
And he'll help.
An agent.
Like a handler. So he was, did the biggest names, Akira Takarada, that was probably his biggest client.
That in itself was pretty cool, though.
It was just amazing when he got all, I can't say anything. I can't say. There are things that were said and done that have to remain absolutely out of the reality.
Oh, come on.
All right, now we got some mystery going on here.
You'll have to talk with Mr. Bean and let him tell you in private.
Naughty Takarada or what?
I cannot say because I cannot say. Do not want to violate.
Better left unsaid.
Epstein files.
We'll invite Tim on for a show, an interview.
See if he's still doing it.
Yeah. There we go.
Really?
But anyway,
gotcha. It's going to be a gotcha moment.
There we go.
Memories of Hidden Realms. Gotcha. Really tell us the beans. Tell us the goods. Except when he listens to this episode. I hope he listens to this episode. You never know.
that's true. Yeah. Then it's blah blown.
Oh,
just
well.
Kidding. Just kidding, Tim.
Oh, right. No. Then the trap's set.
That's right. Yeah.
Now you'll never know. Oh, that's even better.
Anyone willing to come on, they gotta think something's up anyway.
Yeah.
But the special effects are really, really great. And I love the creative angles.
At that time, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's a 30-year-old movie, and things are. I mean, now what we have coming out with Shin Godzilla and Shin Ultraman, and
yeah,
there's a Gamma series. There's a lot of anime versions of these now, but I think
they're better.
This trilogy was real better than what Godzilla was. Toho was doing at the time. And that's what I really love about it. So I'm excited to talk more about 2 and 3, because what we see is some of the characters, there's going to be the characters who are going to be recurring. And that's what I love. The stuff that happens in this movie, like when Tokyo Tower, the top of it, is destroyed and toppled, in the second movie, that will still be destroyed.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see there again.
Right, and it's like those.
That's the only time you actually see them having to rebuild from.
Yeah, so that we're going to talk about next time. But that's what I love about this, because the continuity was like so very meticulous and careful, and then yet also explored the world and the world of these new monsters, the new realities that they've created,
and actually kind of gave you an explanation of what's going on. I mean, what's actually. Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, excellent.
Because I just do not remember them. So this is all kind of
That's all right.
New revelation.
They do get better, though.
I remember three movies, but I just don't remember them in detail by any
means. Then Gamera the Brave feels very much like a Showa movie.
And I like that one.
It's more modernized. It's a whole different feel.
Yeah.
It has a big emotional run, this big, like, tear jerking moment, and where you literally see
it's more like the original Gamera.
Yeah, totally. But anyway, Gamera, Guardian of the Universe. Midnight Gadfly, Professor Feather, anything more you'd like to add about this movie today?
I love the reporter. I think she's like an integral part of that whole story, which is, and her bravery and, I think it's that is really amazing.
Get that camera up here. Let's go.
I know, right? I know. She's so bossy.
She's a biologist, wasn't she? Or whatever.
She was. She's like Lois Lane.
Lois Lane.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. She had a good character. You're right.
Yeah, there are memorable characters.
Yeah.
Seagal's daughter does a poor. I mean, she's just bland and very much like Seagal, I guess.
It's like her dad.
Now let's go back. We can go back and explore that. I think her expressions are priceless.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has some expressions in there that say everything. There is no dialogue. It's a Kurosawa picture, And those are some of the things I like the most about this movie.
I was just replaying her talking and realizing it was so monotone. But you are right, because she has to show her connection with Gamera.
Yeah.
Whether it's the anger,
she's in it.
It's pain, or all those things.
She is coming
to grips with this idea of the connection anyway.
Yeah. I just think there's some beautiful introspective photography going on, I find it,
which
some
gets
of the
better
best,
in the second one too.
And well, that's good, but that's why I said, glad you brought that up, because I was going to say something about that. And I didn't, not knowing it's Seagal's daughter, that it makes no difference anyway.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, that was just about it. I remember, that was the first thing I heard. Steven Seagal's daughter. I'm like, I don't know who she is. Okay.
So much better than her dad.
The movie was really a departure in a way, like, here's what we can do with a third of the budget. And Toho wasn't like, they weren't like spendthrifts. I mean, they were pretty, sparse in their, but I don't know where the money went or what was going on, but.
Now, it just goes to show you that those big corporations like that can pad so much. They pad so much because they have to support themselves.
And that was at a time where the late mid-90s, Godzilla was on the wane. The Heisei series wasn't as popular in Japan as they were expecting.
Yeah.
Although, Mechagodzilla 2 was really popular, in Mothra, the one before that.
When did those come out?
My biggest problem with that whole series,
Space Godzilla was shitty. Yeah, it's flat. It is very flat. Yeah. Space Godzilla and was 94, and then Destroyer was 95. That was
I think in Space Godzilla.
I like Destroyer.
My big hangup. Yeah. Well, big hangup in Space Godzilla when they're going through the asteroid belt.
Oof, that's a painful.
And literally, you can see.
You see the strings.
Strings and they're like twisting and
it's like meteors made by Mrs. Johnson's third grade class. But back to
it's a camera. Potato. Seriously.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. But we can totally talk about those. This really rebooted the franchise, the Gamma franchise, and I don't know that they were immediately intending on making the sequel, but one came out the following year, which we'll talk about down the road. But this did pretty well at the box office, enough to keep the franchise going. But
I think it reinvigorated kaiju because I think we've been privileged to see the new millennium of kaiju with Shin Godzilla and Minus mm-hmm. One. Minus
you're
One.
Right. I think you're absolutely about that.
Holy shit! With Minus One. That's a proper film.
Right. I think this is I think film. This sparked that.
The sequel's in the works. And I think there's also, from what I'm understanding, there's also a sequel to Shin Godzilla in the works.
Yes.
So, it should.
And I really hope they go the weird way. I so hope that.
The way the tail was splintering, that's going to be really fucked up.
People with the Godzilla
little Godzilla people. Well,
even more than I was reading some of the scripts that they had for this, and one of them was like it just keeps evolving to the point it leaves the planet and it starts feeding off the energy of the sun and stuff. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger,
like the blob.
And it just keeps mutating to what it needs, and it just it's kind of
interesting. Wow.
But
okay, well, Daiye and Toho bring Gamera Guardian of the Universe from 1995. I think it's a great kaiju movie. If you've never seen it, it's definitely worth a watch. And for me, who hasn't seen it for probably a decade, I just really enjoyed watching it again, just exploring things and seeing things that I hadn't really forgot about, and just being able to enjoy it. This is a lot of fun. Yeah.
Here's a question. Are the other two available on Prime?
Yes, they are. Yes,
and
they are.
So, people out there, we're going to be talking about the other two, so go watch all three of them.
So, I'll my next episode, I'll do two. And Dr. Head, you get to run it. So, I'm just, I'm abdicating.
Legion.
Oh, I'd love to hear you run it.
No. I love listening to you and Sean Kennedy talk about this stuff.
Me
I
too.
Really do.
Me too. Yeah,
I do. It's amazing. So,
it's a font of information for us,
It is, yeah.
Okay. Because we're not kaiju freaks.
But we don't want you to feel
we're other freaks. We're just not kaiju freaks.
But I love them. I love them.
Yeah, you call those freaks, yes. All right.
But the people who love them more? I want to listen to what they have to say. So
I agree.
Okay. Well, that's great.
I'm okay with them.
That's fine, because now I feel a little more comfortable. We can just go on and about things. I really wanted to be, have everyone and chime in, because I know these aren't your things, and to hear what you had to say, because I know when we saw them in the 90s, we were like, wow, what the fuck?
I think they have a different connection.
We way better than we were expecting.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I said. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. And that's what I like about him. I like to watch him out and talk about him a little bit, but I don't know history and all that stuff. And you guys really fill stuff in good.
Okay, cool.
I like that with all movies.
Then why doesn't Dr. Tarr do the next one, the third one?
Okay,
well, because you're up. It's you and I.
You can abdicate.
Do you want to abdicate yours?
I will abdicate mine to Tarr.
It's what? The third
Gamera movie. Gamera.
So next time we're doing Gamera 2 and 3.
Time we're doing 2.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah,
man, let's do it.
There we go. And then I'll pick up after that. Yeah. I got a few movies, but I'd rather do this. This is kind of
it. I love Irish.
That's good. Great. Yep. Fine. They're good movies.
There goes our Halloween. But
Gamera. Well, he gets kind of scary.
I'm
at the
still
end,
dressing up like a candy corn. Yeah, Gamera 3. And I'm going, oh, that tastes so good. That tastes so good. You don't like me? Fuck you.
Your stool sample has candy corn in it. Is that corn? Nope, candy corn.
So is that it? Are we done talking about Gamera?
I think I'm done. Gamera, Guardian of the Universe. Go see
I'm spent.
Yeah, you guys are oh, wrong music. Say. Gamera! Gamera!
Gamera! Yeah.
And you have been experiencing
Radio. And this is Kenny.
Well, thank you. On the Kenny note, unsaneradio.com, unsaneradio@gmail.com. Unsane Radio is on Facebook. Unsane Radio is on Blue Sky. Tar and Feather is on YouTube. Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema is on Facebook. Tar and Feather will be appearing at some point somewhere. And that's all I got to say.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebook. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTube. And We Freaks, WeeFreekz. A family-friendly webcomic also on Facebook, written and drawn and lettered and colored and by our own lovely dear friend, Blue Fez, John Boise.
Boing. Boing.
Boing.
Boing. Boing, there he goes. That's the
Hamburglar boing.
We found this mysterious egg. Look at it, it's huge.
The song needs a hook.